God for his love. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We've sung a lot of songs this morning about God's love and the love of God. And my message this morning is, what kind of love is God's love? I believe God's love is misunderstood by many today. And yet, if we look into the Word of God, God's love jumps out at us on all pages. In 1 John chapter 4, I'd like you to go down, please, to verse number 7. You find it? Now, as we read from verse 7, I want you to make a mental note of every time the word love is used, or a form of the word love, like beloved or loved or love. Verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his, what? His love is perfected in us. You see what I mean? It's mentioned a lot, isn't it? Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. What kind of love is God's love? This morning I'd like to share with you a few things that I believe about God's love that we find in the Scriptures, and let us pray. Father, we thank you so much as we've read some of the Scriptures this morning in 1 John about your great love and the subject of love. I pray, Father, that you'd open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and help us to understand more fully and more deeper the great love that you have expressed to us and you continue to express to us every day, and help us, Lord, to revel in it. Help us never to be tired of hearing about it or speaking about it. And we pray you change us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, what kind of love is God's love? So many people claim to follow God today. So many people claim to have the true religion today. And everyone else is doomed. But there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. There is only one truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. There is only one life. And Jesus said, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm so glad that, first of all, that God's love is a delivering love. It's a saving love. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he paid in full for the sins of all the world. Not just your sins, not just the sins of those that are redeemed, but he died for the sins of every person in the whole world. And when we accept him as our Savior, God accepts that payment, and that means that he washes away our sin. He saves us from the wrath to come. He transforms us. We become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you bowed your heart to the Lord Jesus, you became a new creature in Christ. Brand new. That's because the old man can't be changed. Amen. The old man just is just as bad as he can be. He'll never change. He's always the same, and that is the flesh that we drag around with all the days of our life. We'll never totally get rid of the flesh until the day we die. But we can deny him. We can't keep him locked up. But God's love is a saving love. We should never get tired of hearing about God's love. We should never get tired about speaking about God's love, because there's always people that need to hear it. And you know what? We need to hear it constantly all the time too. I'm so glad that Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Well, not only is God's love a saving and delivering love, but it's also, thank God, a keeping love. Not only does God love sinners because he died for all sinners on the cross, but God has a peculiar love for those that have responded to that love. God has a peculiar love to those that have believed on his name. God has a peculiar love for his children. Amen. It's like the difference that the love that you have for your children or your neighbor's children. Who wins? Amen. Who wins? Your children. Why? They belong to you, right? And those that have responded to the great gospel call and said, yes, I want Jesus as my Savior. I realize I'm lost. I realize that I've gone my own way. I realize that I've offended God in my life, and I need Christ as my Savior, who died on an old rugged cross and shed his blood for mankind and cried, my God, why do you forsake me? Yes, I want Jesus, my Savior. Those that are born into God's family, God has a special, peculiar love for those, amen, because they belong to him. And you and I that have trusted Christ as Savior, God has a peculiar love for us that the world doesn't understand, because they're still neighbors, amen. And, you know, I have responsibility when my children were growing up to take care of them. I don't have the same responsibility to my neighbor's kids. If he doesn't treat them right, if he doesn't provide for them, it might move me maybe to pray for them, maybe to help them a little bit. But my responsibility is not to them primarily. And, you know, God also has a responsibility that he keeps for us as his children. But God's love is a keeping love. He keeps us. I'd like you to look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Charge. That charge can get you in trouble too, amen? 24% interest. They think they're doing you a favor. I was at Valley Fair this week, and after I paid for my item, the girl says, do you want a Valley Fair card? I says, I don't know. How much is interest rate? She says, I don't know. She says, what are you offering it to me for if you don't know how much it is? And she gives me the paper, and it's like, take me 15 minutes to read the thing. I said, oh, no thanks. But God's love is a keeping love. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, please. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things? What that verse is saying is, if God delivered his only son to redeem us, what makes you think that he's going to withhold any good thing from you now? Amen. He's given the greatest gift of all. He's not going to stop now in taking care of you as his child. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. That means we don't worship a dead Christ on a cross. We worship a risen one who is alive forevermore, whoever liveth to make intercession for the saints, according to the will of God, who is even at the right hand, there it says it, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And notice verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, the Apostle Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate the child of God from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He'll never let us go. Nothing will separate us in time or eternity. Thank God that God's love is a keeping love. But it's also a providing love. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you need this morning? Don't raise your hand. What do you need this morning? I know it's trivial. I know it seems trite. But the answer is so redundant sometimes. The Bible says go to God for it. But that takes humbling. That takes coming to God humbly. That takes lowering ourselves and saying, we need something, Lord. We don't have all the answers. He'll not give you all that you want, perhaps. But he'll give you what may be best for you. Sometimes it's hard and difficult for us to accept things that God has in mind for us because we don't see the whole picture. God sees the whole picture, doesn't he? And he knows what's best for us. And sometimes his denials are what's best for us. He doesn't give us everything that we ask because he knows what's best for us. In Philippians chapter 4, please, I'd like you to look at that. Philippians chapter 4. God's love is a providing love. We love verse 13. Anybody love verse 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know, when we take that verse in its proper context in that chapter, Paul is mentioning that God gives him grace to go through difficult times. He can also do that through God's strength. Look at verse 4, please. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You say, Pastor, I don't feel like rejoicing. That's not the issue. That's a command. Amen? Rejoice. I don't know much about English. I have trouble with English. Because English is a hard language, isn't it? But I do know one thing. When there's no subject and it starts with a verb, that's a command. You is understood. God is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, God cares about what we think about, not only what we do. He cares about our mind and the things we allow ourselves to think upon. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul was a great example. If some other people were to say that, that would be boasting, that would be bragging. Well, that's quite a thing to say. Do what I do. Think on the things I think on. I'll tell you, Apostle Paul had every right to say that, didn't he? He was a great, great soldier of the cross. But notice, he says, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished. Again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Keep in mind, he's writing from a prison cell. He's waiting to be executed. He's telling us to rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He realized that when he was in God's will, wherever he was, he could still be happy in the Lord because he was yielded to the Lord. He had no will of his own. You know how to be unhappy in this life? Do your own will. Do your own thing. Be your own person. You'll be unhappy. Because for the Christian, the only way to be happy is to say, not my will, but thine be done. Serve the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving yourself. And when you serve yourself, it's like hitting your head against a wall. But notice, he says in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Even when there's not enough food for me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Even when God humbles me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Even when I have to go without, there's a reason for it. I'm trusting God no matter what happens. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Even when I'm misunderstood, and even when I'm maligned, and even when I'm lied about, and even when I'm persecuted and thrown in this dungeon and I'm waiting to be executed, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And from that prison cell, he writes this letter to the Philippians that has blessed the church for 2,000 years. Why? Because that's exactly where God wanted him, in God's plan. He had a special calling and a special, special person, this Apostle Paul. God's love is a providing love, a providing love. God's love is also a helpful love. God is not only our Creator and not only our Savior, but He is also our Helper. My father used to say, good help is hard to find. I thought he invented that saying, but he didn't. It's been around as long as there's been work. Amen? But God is a Helper, and He is also our Helper. Yes, if you need help, God is waiting to give it to you. But we got to go to Him. We got to humble ourselves and come to Him. He loves us, and He'll give us help abundantly. One of the reasons I came back to this church is because I remember the men of the church called me, and they said, come here and help us. It's hard to believe, but that's been 2.5 years ago. Where does the time go, Henry? Just a couple more gray hairs ago. Amen. But I came back because I realized that most of the men, that they would stay. They wouldn't let go of the rope when I came. You know, in some churches, when a new pastor comes, everybody's busy trying to get the new pastor. They're doing everything that he does, they're supposed to do, and then when he comes, everybody lets go of the rope. And some people leave there, and some people go there. I'm glad in our church that most of you have stayed. Amen? And we're able to work together. Every member of a local church has a function. Not one person is more important than the other. All are important. All have a function. If you don't think that's true, take a hammer and hit your big toe. See if the whole body doesn't hurt. I guarantee you, for about 30 seconds, that's all you're going to think about is that big toe. You haven't thought about him for weeks. Amen? All members are important in the local church. Not everybody can be an eye, not everybody can be a foot, not everybody can be a hand, but all are important. All members are important. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. All are important. Yes? God's love is a helping love. I'd like you to look at Hebrews chapter 4, please. I want to finish everything this morning I've got for you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Familiar verse, perhaps? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find what? Grace to help in the time of need. So many Christians go without because they won't come boldly to the throne of grace. Won't pray. Won't pray. Well, if you don't pray, you don't get mercy, and you don't get grace, and you don't get help. I'm not so proud this morning to say that I need the Lord. Amen. We live in a macho day. We're the macho men. We're the macho tattoos. I hope I don't offend anybody this morning. They don't need anything. They're rough and tough and rugged. Except those metro guys. Let me tell you something. Christ Jesus is the best friend a man will ever have. Amen. Well, God will give you mercy and grace if you ask Him for it. Some people don't ask advice. You know, every Christian should be willing to ask advice under difficult problems and situations. We should have our own cabinet. The President of the United States has a cabinet where he seeks advice from people. Thank God he's got a cabinet. You and I should have our own cabinet. There should be a few people on a list that we call when we have need of advice or we run into trouble. And if we don't, we're foolish. Amen? I still have people, after 30-some years in the ministry, there are still people, I have to change the list every once in a while. Or there are people that I call if I want advice or if I find I have some problems or some trouble. Now, you say, why do you change the list? Well, some die. Some, unfortunately, have refused the advice that they have given for years, and they're no longer trustworthy of giving advice. But we all should have people that we look to for advice. And your pastor ought to be on that list if you think that he knows a little bit of something after serving the Lord for so many years. I would hope that you would ask advice of your pastor if you run into problems or trouble, or you just want to double check what you're thinking to make sure it might be in line with what the Bible says. But some people do not ask advice, and it's foolish. God's love is a helping love. Many times He helps us through people. Did you know that? I can't tell you all the number of times that God has helped me through other people. God uses people. Most of us wouldn't have been saved if God didn't use people. That's right. People prayed for us. People gave us literature. People spoke to us. I think in heaven, one of the joys is going to be we're going to find out all the people that it really took to bring us around. God's love is a helpful love. God's love is a comforting love. No one can comfort us like God can comfort us. No one has known the sorrow that He knew. Can you imagine the sorrow the Son of Man felt coming to this foreign land that He created that was given over to rebellion? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows the sorrows that you and I can fall into from time to time. He knows what it is to weep. The Bible says He wept over Jerusalem because He knew of her coming judgment and of her coming time of war and desolation for rejection of Him. And He knows what it is for friends to forsake Him. Did you ever have a friend forsake you? Well, He knows what it's like. He had two friends when He lived on this earth. One denied Him 3 times and the other betrayed Him. How's that for a pair? Amen? One of them repented. Who was that? Peter. Remember Peter? Denied Him 3 times. God's love is a demanding love. Not only is it a comforting love, but God's love is a demanding love. I'd like you to look at John chapter 21, please. John chapter 21. You say demanding love, Pastor? How can God's love be a demanding love? Well, let's look down in chapter 21, verse 15. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Yes, God's love is a demanding love. In other words, saying we love God is not enough. To some of us, God is saying the same thing today. Do you love me? How grieved Peter must have been. He had denied the Lord three times. Remember that look Jesus gave him when he was going through the trial? And Peter was asked, are you with him? And he looked and said, no, I know not the man. He starts to curse. Jesus looks at him and the cock starts to crow. And he remembers the words, the prophetic words of Christ. Before the cock crow, you'll deny me three times. And now, after the resurrection, the Lord's making them some breakfast. I don't know if you eat fish for breakfast or not, but they were having fish. And he had the coals burning, and he had the fish a-frying, and Peter said, it's the Lord! And he jumped in the water, and they all came to shore, and they're having breakfast. And Jesus asked them three times, Peter, do you love me? You know, saying it's not enough. Love has to be shown. Amen? Love has to be proved. Every day we get a chance to show our love to the Lord. I think if the Lord would say anything this morning to us, he'd say, if you love me, show it. If you love me, start tithing. Start giving to missions. Start going out with others from the church and witnessing. Start giving out tracts. Maybe go out and help out in the nursing home. Maybe God would even call you to go into some of our jails and to witness to those in jail. You say, witness to those in jail? Do you know that most of the Bible was written by murderers? That God changed? Say, murderers? Yeah, murderers. David killed Uriah. Wrote most of the book of Psalms. Amen? Moses killed the Hebrew. Wrote a lot of the Old Testament. We could go on. God saves sinners. There are people in jails this morning. Perhaps that God will not only save, but even call into the ministry. You don't know. But my Bible says go into all the world. We have no idea who God is working on. Amen. And where would you and I be this morning if we weren't saved? Some of us might be in jail. It's true. Or worse. Or dead. If you love me, speak to the homeless. If you love me, come back tonight. If you love me, come on Wednesday night. If you love me, show me. You know, they say Missouri is the show-me state. Jesus says, if you love me, show me. Oh, how convicted Peter must have been when Jesus asked him that third time, do you love me? But Peter had already made up his mind that he was going to follow the Lord all the days of his life. Amen? Yes, the Lord loved him and gave him the opportunity of canceling his threefold denial that day and start a brand new slate. If you love me, bring somebody on Friend Day. Amen? Invite somebody. You never know, they might come. Amen. Peter could lead and help others only by his love for Christ even in a world of hate. Jesus says, do you only love me when you're well? Do you only love me when things are going good? Do you only love me when all is well in your world? Do you only love me when everything's going good? I loved you and I showed it. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. When we were rebels, he loved us. When we were disobedient, when we were hell-bound, he loved us and showed it by his death on the cross. Yes, God's love is a demanding love. Lastly, God's love is an eternal love. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. After the resurrection and before the Bible was completed, there were heresies and delusions that tempted the young Christian converts. The apostle told them there was a way to test them to see which voice spoke from God. The confession that Jesus was the incarnate word, a spirit of love and gentleness, and a willingness to abide in the doctrine of the apostles was the sign that the speaker was commissioned by Christ. There's only one source of pure divine love, and wherever that love is present, you know that the possessor has found its source in God, because God is love, and God's love is completely selfless. He loves the unloving so that they can learn to love as well. What kind of love is God's love? It's a saving love. It's a keeping love. It's a providing love. It's a helpful love, comforting love, demanding love, and eternal love. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. As we pray and as we think about God's love, and as our pianist plays a verse of invitation, this morning, perhaps as a Christian, God has spoken to your heart. Maybe to come this morning to pray about your life, maybe a situation you're facing. You don't have to face it alone. You can come this morning and pray at an old-fashioned altar. You just come, even now. You don't even have to wait for the music to start. God's here to help you. Perhaps there's someone here that God's tugging on your heart because he wants to enter it. You come and let him know about that. There's no better time than now. Maybe God is speaking to a heart this morning about your church attendance, about your Bible reading, your praying, prayer life, your ability to forgive others. Maybe he's speaking to you this morning about your direction in your life. Don't be too proud to come and pray about it. You can just go on the way you are, not be touched, not be changed. If you humble yourself before him, he'll help you. Another thing about God's love we didn't mention, love speaks the truth. Sometimes the truth goes against what we want, but God loves us enough to speak the truth. And nothing in life takes God by surprise. We can trust him in any situation, in all situations in life. Let's stand, please, and turn to 546. The invitation is still open. 546. God is speaking to your heart. Would you come this morning as we sing? 546.